Well, welcome to our Saturday night service. My name is Bo Landers, again, one of our teaching pastors. I teach our Saturday service. Excited to be kicking off a brand new series called Whatever It Takes. You know, over the course of these next 7 weeks, we're going to be looking at this idea of how do we do whatever it takes for the gospel. We're going to be primarily looking at the life of Paul, but we have a lot of different resources and a lot of different things to be able to do all that God has called us to do and what He has called us to be. Now, as we open this series in Whatever It Takes, we're going to be talking tonight about this idea of a whatever it takes mentality. But really to even drive there, as I started thinking through what are we really driving to even in this lesson, my mind sort of began to shift to Kobe Bryant. Now, many of us know Kobe Bryant. He played in the NBA for 20 years, and the world was even shaken last year as one of the greatest players in NBA history died tragically in a helicopter crash. But Bryant was known for many things, right? He was known for many things, but one of his best things that he was known for is what's called a Mamba mentality. And maybe you're familiar with it, maybe you're not, but his mantra for this Mamba mentality was this, and you'll see this right here. Mamba mentality mantra is this: a constant quest to be the best version of oneself. A constant quest to be the best version of oneself. And what he did was he operated and he played his entire basketball career with that understanding that he, as he worked and as he did everything, he was going to be the best version of himself. And truthfully, this Mamba mentality is a holistic life approach, right? Attacking what's in front of you with passion and with purpose, leaving behind sort of doubt and fear along the way, and taking the term quit out of your vocabulary. And that's what Kobe Bryant was all about. Kevin Durant, another basketball player, speaking about Kobe, he said this. He says, "I never wanted to be like Kobe, but I always wanted to have that laser focus that nothing was going to get in the way of what I wanted to do." That tenaciousness is what he's driving to, the focus, the dedication and hard work. From everything from his workouts to where he was on the court, everything was all about his self-determination to be the best version of himself. Now, while some and many have idolized Kobe Bryant, no doubt Kobe's legacy has its flaws, but no one can fault him for his devotion to the game of basketball. And in many ways, it was this constant pursuit. It was this constant chase. It was this constant pushing that put him in a league of his own. Now, if Mamba mentality is a constant quest to be the best version of oneself, well, as we approach this series of Whatever It Takes, we want to have what we'll dub as a Whatever It Takes mentality. This Whatever It Takes mentality. And so this becomes sort of the scope of this entire series. This in turn is a sort of rebranding of our church. You know, up to this point, we've been going where our brand has always been to love God and love others. And we're not going away from that. That is biblical. We need to go there, especially as we look at Matthew 22, among other things. But one of the things that as we've gone through this process of sort of figuring out who are we as Cottonwood Creek, we have been challenged that we want to be the kind of people that will do whatever it takes for the gospel. And so this series is going to go through the life of Paul. We're going to have Whatever It Takes resources between our sermons. We've got resources on our website that you can go check out. We'll have life group curriculum. We're going to have devotion through the book of Acts. And our life group curriculum and our devotional will all be centered on the book of Acts, because really this is who we want to be as a church. We want to have this kind of mentality. And we want to ultimately ask the question of how do we get there? But before we can even ask how, we need to say, well, what is a whatever it takes for the gospel mentality? And that's our question this evening. What is a whatever it takes for the gospel mentality? This is a question that will set the course for the entire series. One we will continue to come back to throughout the series, because this becomes our baseline. This is our foundation. And so, much like Kobe Bryant had his mantra, this is the mantra that I want to focus on. And if you have your notes right there, you can fill them in, but you'll see it on the screen right here. But the mantra for our Whatever It Takes is doing whatever it takes to know, imitate, and live for Jesus. You want to say, what does it mean to do whatever it takes for the gospel? Well, we want to do whatever it takes to know, imitate, and live for Jesus. Now, when we begin to define different terms like disciple or Christian or saint or any of those, if we're not careful, we can begin to define those in different ways. Right? We can say, well, a Christian is what all people are called to be. Anybody who believes in Jesus, they are a Christian. Then we might say, then a disciple is sort of the next level up sort of Christian. They're the ones who are really dedicated to following Jesus. And then we might say even further, well, then a saint is sort of that next category. They're that other level where they're saintly. They're something totally different. But the truth is that when you look at Scripture, there is no distinction between Christian, disciple, and saint. They're all the same. Anyone who is a follower of Jesus is called to be a Christian, is called to be a disciple, and is called to be a saint. A saint being one who is set apart, a disciple being one who is a follower, a Christian who is one being a small Christ, so to speak. See, we're all called to be followers of Jesus. We're all called to be disciples. We're all called to be Christians. We're all called to be saints. This is why in our mantra and our mission that we will do, and we have a calling with, as you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus to be saved, then you have a call to do these three things: to know Jesus, to imitate Jesus, and to live for Jesus. Now, why those three words? Well, if you begin to look through this know, imitate, and live for, this begins to sort of outline who followers of Jesus are as the people of God. To know Jesus isn't simply just a head knowledge, right? And 1 Corinthians 8 makes this clear that where knowledge puffs up, love builds up. And so this knowledge of Jesus isn't simply just acknowledging him from a cognitive level, but it is a whole heart kind of movement. If you look at Jeremiah 31 and in that passage, and you won't see it on your screen, but just sort of talking through that passage, it says, as the new covenant dawns, that all of a sudden we, in believing in Jesus, will know Jesus with our full heart. Not just our head, but with everything that we are. And so a knowledge of Jesus really centers around the idea of understanding who our God is, the God that we worship over and again. This becomes what we know, that God is everywhere, that He is all-powerful, that He is sovereign, that He is works in His providence for the good of and for His good and for His glory. All of these things, the more that we know our God, the more that fuels our obedience and our worship. But we don't just stop at a knowledge of God, because that knowledge of God fuels, as we just said, our obedience and worship, but it fuels our imitation of God. That as we know more about who God is from that sort of holistic kind of heart knowledge, that moves us to be to imitate Him. 2 Corinthians 5 brings out that idea of an ambassador, that ones who represent, ones who imitate. That term ambassador in 2 Corinthians 5 is like a statue that's been placed in various lands. So in the Roman Empire, though there was only one location, the Caesar could only be in one location, you had different statues erected throughout the empire to remind the people of who Caesar was. That's the same thing that we're called to be. We're not God, but we are ambassadors. We are representatives that as people look at us, we are called to imitate Him because we want to point back to Him. So we know Him, we imitate Him, and then we live for Him. The entire book of Acts is about how the apostles and the disciples pledged their allegiance to Jesus above all things. And as they pledged their allegiance, they lived for Him in all of their mission. That ultimately, Jesus was the reason why they did everything that they did. So what does this begin to look like for a believer? What does this begin to look like in the life of a believer? This whatever it takes, this relentlessly to relentlessly pursue your calling in the gospel, to relentlessly chase after knowing Jesus, imitating Jesus, and living for Jesus. See, this series, we're going to be looking at the life of Paul, the one who relentlessly pursued this mantra, to know Christ, where he says in Philippians 3, I consider it all rubbish compared to know who Jesus is. I consider it all rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. And I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, Paul says. But Paul doesn't just talk about his knowledge. He also talks about his imitation. He says, I want to share in the sufferings of Christ, become like Him in His death. Paul goes as far to say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And then he also says, and as far as living for Jesus, as he lives out this mantra, well, he says, to live is Christ and to die is gain. See, Paul becomes a perfect picture, in many ways, of how we can live out the mantra to know, imitate, and live for Jesus. And so tonight we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 9 as we spend just the next few minutes looking at 1 Corinthians 9, which is the base text for all of this entire series. It's the heart of why Paul did what he did, why he suffered, why he was persecuted, why he was thrown in jail, why he was shipwrecked, why he did what he did. And really, it's the outworking that we need to have of a whatever it takes mentality. What does the whatever it takes mentality look like in Paul's life? And what does this begin to mean for us? Well, here's your first blank there after working through the mantra. But whatever it takes mentality does this. First is that it feels the responsibility of the gospel itself. As we turn to 1 Corinthians 9, you begin to read this passage here in just a moment. We'll start in verse 16. But to feel the responsibility is to feel the weight of, to be burdened by. It's like whenever we had our first child, he's now 6 years old. But when we had Owen, it was one of those things that where I remember being in the hospital and holding him for the first time, and there was an overwhelming burden, an overwhelming responsibility that all of a sudden, as I hold this little one, that I am now responsible to nurture him, to care for him, to love him, to raise him well. And this responsibility and burden that was placed on me now because I was a dad. Well, as Paul looks at the gospel, he says, that I have now been burdened and I now have a responsibility because of what I've been entrusted with. Look at verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 9. It says this. It says, for when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast since I am compelled to preach. That compulsion idea. And then he follows it up with, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. Really, what Paul is doing here is he's beginning to defend sort of why he doesn't take anything from anyone, instead why he begins to preach the gospel free of charge. Because he doesn't want to be bound by anyone. He is bound by the responsibility and the burden that he has to be a preacher of the gospel. Paul is saved, and he knows that his life's purpose has changed. He says, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. That's the burden he feels to know, as he understands his calling to know Jesus, to imitate Jesus, and to live for Jesus. And in truth, this is the burden and responsibility of every disciple. You may be thinking, well, I'm not called to preach. But if you look at this Greek word right here, this word preach is to bring the good news, to announce the good news, to proclaim the good news, to display the good news to anyone and everyone becomes the idea. And while we think of preaching formally as something that even I'm doing right here, preaching really is to bring about the good news in a public way so that everyone knows what that good news is. Now let's think about it in the context of maybe here just for an example, a brief example. But we live in an Instagram world, don't we? We live in a world where constantly people are posting pictures of a variety of things. Now, there's a generation that feels the burden and responsibility of posting whatever they had for breakfast. Now, to bring the good news that they had some kind of delicious breakfast, right? So they post a picture of it. They tell everyone, look at this delicious breakfast that I've had. They put a little funny comment or something like that on it. Why? Because they're going to share this good news of what they've had. But have you ever asked the question, why? Why are they sharing with you a picture of their breakfast, right? Why would the world care about that delicious breakfast? They didn't get to share in it, right? It's not like you get to go try it yourself. We live in this world that conflates likes and hearts to self-worth, maybe because you had a pretty breakfast. I'm not sure, but we do it anyway, don't we? And we see these generations that are doing it, and this is how we're living. But the truth is that when we begin to think about the good news of Jesus, if we are burdened to herald the good news of something so trivial as a piece of avocado toast, what sort of burden do we have with the good news that Jesus saves? See, the only one who can save, the only one worth living for. See, as a church, we want to embrace this responsibility. We want to embrace this responsibility. Every good business operates from a conviction and a burden. Every good business has a responsibility that they carry, and that begins to dictate how they operate. For us, everything we do, we have a call to bring the good news of Jesus. Our burden and our responsibility keeps us in check. Why do we do what we do? To bring the good news to a world filled with bad news. And what this means for us as a church is that we want to do whatever it takes for the gospel. We want to understand the responsibility. We want to understand the burden that has been placed on us. Every ministry that we do, every service that we provide, every event that we take hold of, it's centered around this responsibility. And we operate from this responsibility. God wants to use us to display His goodness to our surrounding world. We have a weight to be the light in the darkness. We have a responsibility to bring the good news to a world filled with bad news. We have a burden to live in a way that directs people's attention to Jesus. And so when Paul says preach, he means to publicly bring the good news of Jesus. And this can be done in a variety of ways. But we must first start with the weight and the burden and the responsibility that we have a call to be light in a dark world. But then as we embrace the burden and responsibility, that brings us to our second point. As we embrace this burden and responsibility, we need to see the need for the gospel. We need to begin to see the need for the gospel, and this is exactly what Paul does in 1 Corinthians 9 in verse 19. He says this, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Now, the responsibility of the gospel begins to push us to begin to see the world through Jesus' eyes, to see the world as sheep without a shepherd, to see the world as through the lens of compassion, to see the world of people who need Jesus. See, Paul knew this. He knew his freedom in the gospel. He knew the beauty of the good news of Jesus. He knew the life and joy that he had in Jesus. He knew that Jesus was the only one he was obligated to obey. But he humbled himself. He humbles himself and he made himself a servant. Paul goes as far, he made himself a slave to everyone. Why? Because they needed a Savior. They needed Jesus. And so Paul takes his freedom that he has in the gospel and he makes himself a servant to everyone. See, the burden of the gospel forced Paul to humble himself, change his selfish desires, and see the need of those around him. Why? Because life was not about Paul at that point. He didn't see life as a means to his own selfish end. Life was about Jesus, and the world around him needed a Savior. So he stopped his selfish ambitions and devoted his life to serving a lost and dying world. And in many ways, nothing has changed. In many ways, nothing has changed. We are surrounded by a world who desperately needs Jesus. That's the truth, and that's the reality that we live in. No matter how Christian our United States is, we are surrounded over and over again by people who need Jesus. They desperately need a Savior. And the sad part is many of them don't even realize it. See, the gospel is exclusive. When we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus, that is a definitive statement. That means that you cannot be saved apart from Jesus. This means that those friends, that those coworkers, that your family members, those acquaintances, your social media followers, everyone who does not believe in Jesus are rightfully condemned and will spend forever apart from God. Everyone needs Jesus to be saved. Not just people who look like maybe you, or not just people who look like me, but everyone. See, as a church, we can never lose sight of this need. We can't. See, our area is growing. Maybe you're tuning in the DFW area, maybe you're tuning in outside, but the truth is that in the DFW area where we are located, our area is growing, and we know that. The housing market is just crazy right now. People are moving in all over the place. Percentage of population growth is growing astronomically. The nations are moving here. It's not even just English speakers, but we have people whose first language is not English, but everything from not only just Spanish, but Mandarin. And then you also have Farsi. You've got a variety of languages, a variety of ethnicities that are all moving here. Just for an experiment, next time you're out and about, as you go to the grocery store or Walmart or Target or a gas station, look around you and see the different types of people that the Lord has brought to our area. See, when we begin to feel the burden and responsibility of the gospel, we also begin to see the need of that is all around us. We begin to truly see them through a gospel lens. And as a church, we must remember that we're surrounded, our community that surrounds us, are a bunch of people who need Jesus. A whatever it takes mentality feels the responsibility and the burden of the gospel, sees the need all around them, but then, and this is really where we've been driving to in 1 Corinthians 9, but then all of a sudden, what do we begin to do with that information? Here's your third point here. We need to live out then the accessibility of the gospel. See, as we feel the weight and the responsibility of the and burden of the gospel, and then as we begin to see the need of the gospel, we don't just stop there. We don't just be overwhelmed. We don't just stay stagnant at that point. We begin to live out the accessibility of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 20, and this becomes sort of the heartbeat of this entire series right here. It says, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. And then here's a key phrase. I have become all things to all people, so that by all means possible, I might save some. Did you catch that? I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. This is what drives at the very heart of how Paul operates. Paul is not talking about his ability to save, but ultimately how God uses his life to save people. In some ways, as I was thinking through this, Paul becomes Plato to the world. And here's what I mean by that. He never changes his substance. He never changes his truth. He never changes his Jesus. He never changes what he believes in or how one is saved or anything like that. But he is moldable and he is flexible in any and every situation to bring good news of Jesus to anyone and everyone. That's how Paul was. And that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, I'm not going to change the truth of the gospel, but I am going to make it moldable and flexible to where we can get that truth to anyone and everyone. It's this gospel kind of flexibility. It's clear that he does not condone or give a thumbs up to any kind of sin in this, but it's accessibility and flexibility. And you see this in a passage like, you won't see it on your screen, but like in Acts chapter 17. In Acts 17, you have Paul who goes to Areopagus or Mars Hill, depending on if you're going Roman or Greek translation there. But he goes to this place and he begins to preach the gospel to these people who are surrounded by a variety of different gods. And he looks to the corner and he sees, well, there's an unknown God right there. And Paul looks to these people, right? These people who believe in mythology, these people who do not believe in Jesus. And he looks to that unknown God and he says, hey, let me tell you about this unknown God, the God that you guys don't know. Guess what? I know him. And he begins using Stoic wisdom. He begins using Epicurean wisdom. He begins using philosophers and their own mythology to be able to share the gospel truth with them. Now, Paul doesn't compromise the truth of the gospel. Paul doesn't change who Jesus is, but he uses different ways to be able to communicate the very truth of who God is to this people who need Jesus. And yet, at the same time, when you see like Acts 17, where Paul can talk to this group of Gentiles who have no inkling of who Yahweh is or who their God was or who Jesus was as this Messiah and this long-awaited Messiah, he can then turn right around to the Jews and begin to speak absolute gospel truth to people who know who God is but rejected the Messiah. See, that's Paul. And that's what he was able to do. And really, when we get to what are we called to do, well, when we begin to feel the burden and responsibility of the gospel on us, the good news of Jesus, that he's the one who saves, and we see the need all around us, that people are moving in anywhere and everywhere, then we begin to be accessible. We begin to be flexible. And as a church, this is exactly who we want to be. As Cottonwood Creek Church, we want to be the kind of flexible and accessible people to where we will do anything and everything to take the gospel to all of those around us. This is why we have, on one hand, worship services, and we also have things like concerts. This is why we have VBS, Vacation Bible School, for our kids, but we'll also, you know, where we're sharing the gospel, we're discipling, but we'll also have Fall Festival, where it's just a fun event to bring more and more families to us. We'll have student theology classes through our student ministry, where they're going to be unpacking the intricacies of the Trinity and a variety of things. But then on the other side, we'll have Make You Laugh Mondays on their Instagram to capture more and more people. This is why John Mark will have preaching segments and little teaching points. But then at the same time, we'll have videos about him eating jelly beans or something else like that. We'll have men's Bible studies, but then we'll also have men's breakfast and shoots. We'll have ladies' Bible studies, but then we'll have lunch, ladies' brunch gatherings. We'll have Saturday worship, and then we'll have Saturday food times and fellowship. We have all of these things because we want to be all things to all people so that by any means possible, we might save some. See, this is how Jesus makes us. We don't compromise the truth of the gospel, but we become moldable and flexible and accessible so that the lost and dying world around us might see who Jesus is. And there's a variety of ways that we can do that. See, we want to become all things to all people so that by any means possible, we might save some. Never compromising the truth, never changing the substance of the gospel, never shying away from who Jesus is, but being moldable and flexible and accessible so that more and more come to know Jesus. And this is the DNA of who we are as a church. Maybe you're new to our church, maybe you've been around our church for a while, but this is who we want to be. A lot of churches will have more of a rifle kind of approach to ministry. They will hone in and do one thing extremely well, and blessings to them for doing that one well. If you want to talk about our approach, we're more of a shotgun. We're going to be trying to do a lot of different things so that more and more people come to know Jesus. And this is what sort of you're getting into as you join our church. Now, if you have been around for a while, then you know, even if you go back to First Baptist Church of Fairview, where we began, where John Mark sort of began as he came in as the senior pastor, his initial sort of mantra was to minister to the next person through the door. That was how he operated. That's where he came from. This is how we've been for 25 plus years, going on 26 years of John Mark's leadership. We're going to continue to be moldable and flexible so that more and more come to know Jesus, to imitate Jesus, and to live for Jesus. See, and we are only able to be this kind of church if we all together have a whatever it takes mentality. This isn't necessarily even something new so much as it's pointing a focus on the mission of who we are called to be. And we want you to come join us. Feel the responsibility. See the need. And make the gospel accessible. But in doing all of that, that gets to our final point. You will have joy. You will have joy. Look, long for the joy only found in the gospel. When we live out of whatever it takes mentality, we experience the joy of a life with Jesus. Look at Paul as he closes out his thought in verse 23. He says, I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. I know that this was the last of the verses, and normally this is where you probably close your notes or maybe even shut this off, but I want to sort of move into a challenge time and a commitment time that I have for you. What is a whatever it takes mentality? If we begin to sort of recap, it's to do whatever it takes to know Jesus, to imitate Jesus, and to live for Jesus. And this means that we feel the responsibility of the gospel as we see the need for Jesus all around us, which then moves us to be flexible and accessible as we make the gospel available to anyone and everyone. And then as we know Jesus and imitate Jesus and live for Jesus in this way, we share in its blessings and we live in His joy. But as I want to challenge you, the next question that we have, and this is the burden of sort of the rest of this entire series, is if we understand what the gospel, what this whatever it takes mentality is, how do we get there? How do we have that kind of mentality as people? How do we adopt a whatever it takes sort of mentality? Here's four commitments that I want to ask you to do just as we close this time together. Four commitments that I think can move into the how. How do we do this? Here's four commitments. First off, I encourage you to join us every week, whether that's in person on Saturdays at 5, Sundays 9:30 and 11, right here online. However, commit over the next six coming weeks, right, to commit to tune in and be there for every single sermon. Second commitment is this. I ask you to go to the devotional that we have available. If you haven't got that yet, you can text PLAN to 77978. That's P-L-A-N, 77978. And we as a church, starting this Monday, are going to be going through the entire book of Acts. And we have a 40-day devotional for you. If you want to come up to the church and grab one in person, you can do that as well. But we want to come along right alongside of you as we get into God's Word, studying the early church and what they did. That's the second commitment. Do the devotional with us beginning on Monday. Third is I encourage you to join a group. Or whatever it takes group. We have a brand new life group series that's going through the book of Acts as well. If you text GATHER to 77978, you can be opted in to figure out what a group for you. Maybe that's in person. We have a lot of stuff on Saturday night or Sunday morning. We have five brand new groups, one every night of the week from Sunday through Thursday at 7 o'clock each of those nights of the week that you can just hop in. You don't have to register, you don't have to do anything. Show up to the church at 7 o'clock on any one of those nights. We also have online forms, versions every night of the week from Sunday to Thursday at 7 o'clock that you can join in. However, we want to get you plugged into a group. Because we know that as our church grows, we have to continue to grow smaller so that we can challenge one another. So come every week, go through the devotion through the book of Acts together, get plugged into a group so that we can be growing together. And the last thing I'll say is this, is to be on mission. That's been a phrase at Cottonwood Creek for a while, but this is our call, to be on mission. What you're going to be seeing over the coming weeks is we have a display board with ping pong balls. Now, it's nothing fancy. We're not very fancy people. But with these ping pong balls, there are four different colored ping pong balls. There's a yellow ping pong ball, which are salvations over the course of 2021 that we've experienced as a church. And each of the yellow ones has a name written on it. We have blue ping pong balls that that have a name written on them, and that's for baptism. You'll also see green ones that are designed for membership, those who have joined our church. And then a last color is pink, which are gospel conversations. And each one of those has specific names of people who have either been saved, been baptized, walked through membership, or had a gospel conversation with. We want to be a church who is on mission. And so as you see these ping pong balls over the coming weeks, know that you can participate too. You can come up to the church if you have a gospel conversation, put the name of the person, right, just a first name on the person and put it in there. If you want to be saved and walk through that, you want to write your name on the own ball because you're being saved, or you want to go through baptism, or you want to go through membership, we want to be the kind of church that does whatever it takes for the gospel. And we want you to join us because the church isn't a building. The church is us, and we can do this together. So as we close, may we know, imitate, and live for Jesus by feeling the responsibility and burden of the gospel, seeing the need that's all around us, and make the gospel accessible to anyone and everyone so that we may share in its joy and share in its blessings. So let's make a commitment to be a whatever it takes kind of people. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this time. Lord, as we kick off this brand new series of Whatever It Takes, Lord, I pray that that is who we are. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone who's never joined our church, never been saved, never been baptized, maybe being challenged to have gospel conversations, that we would be a people that would do whatever it takes to reach more and more for the gospel. We love you. It's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As always, it's great being with you on this Saturday. You can always reach out to me. You can text BEAU, it's B-E-A-U, to 77978. That'll send you my email and my cell phone number as well. Feel free to call, text, email. If you have any questions on this or want to get your hands on any of the resources that we talked about, you can also text Saturday to 77978, and we'd love to follow up with you. Beyond that, I hope you have a great weekend, and I hope that you can do whatever it takes for the gospel. See ya.